Dan pressure. Shailene Todd had a dream to write a novel in a tropical paradise. She got the paradise, and the novel is still a goal. But in the meantime, she's made a life for herself in Placencia that is pretty much the real-life equivalent of what dreams are made of. She tells us all about it on this edition of Belize Insider. Shailene, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Tell our listeners where you are and what you're looking at right now.
Oh, I am in Placencia, Belize. Placencia is in the south of Belize, and I'm sitting on my porch looking at bananas growing.
That sounds great. How did you get there? What put Belize on your radar, Shailene? How did you get yourself there?
You know, it was funny. I was living in Texas back in 2008, and I was working for manufacturing, and the economy took a downturn. I'm Canadian originally, and they weren't giving jobs to Canadians the same way anymore, so I didn't get my visa renewed. And something I'd always wanted to do was write a novel. I had this, like, you know, perfect picture in my mind of living in a hut somewhere on a beach, just, you know, Ernest Hemingway way through life. And so I said to my friends, you know, I'm gonna give it a try. I'm gonna take 3 months and go somewhere and see if I can do this. And a friend just recommended Belize. I had never even heard of it at the time, I remember.
Really?
And and he said, you know, it's English speaking, they've got the set currency with the United States, it's really safe, it's really small, because I was going alone as a female, obviously.
So
I started Googling. I Googled best beaches in Belize, and Placencia came up. And next thing you know, I was on a plane and landed at the tiniest little airstrip in the world. The airport here is like a little hut, right?
It's not very big, yeah.
No, you're on like an 8-seater plane,
yeah.
And it lands. And, you know, you think you're going to land in the water because the peninsula is so, so thin, you know. So the airstrip is the length of the peninsula, or the width of it. And, it landed here, and I remember thinking, my God, what have I done?
How did you plan for your arrival? Did you rent a place to stay in at first, or?
Yeah, exactly. So, in Placencia, there's lots of little guest houses, Airbnbs. You know, it's really kind of exactly what was in my mind, that little hut that you can rent, like 65 U.S. a night. I forget how much I paid 10 years ago, but, you know, that's pretty standard around here. And, it's just, you know, a bed on a beach with a microwave and coffee maker, and so
are you
spent 3 months here.
Are you right in the village? You're down at the end of the
originally
peninsula?
When I first came, I was right in the village, but I've lived, so the peninsula is 16 miles long, and I've lived on every little bit of it at this point, I think. So right now I'm in what's called Sandbite Village. It's right in the middle of the peninsula. I love the community here. It's probably the part of the peninsula that's retained its culture the most.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very touristy, you know, just living amongst the locals. And, yeah, I really love it.
Wow. So I got to ask, did you get the novel written?
Turns out I'm not a very good writer.
You find out about yourself.
Still working on it.
Yeah, you find out about yourself, don't you?
Exactly. No, so here it's funny because, you know, full circle 10 years later, I am doing a lot of writing, but it's a lot more blogging. I write for the local paper, some Caribbean magazines. But no, that novel still haunts me when I go to sleep at night in one of these days.
You've been there for 10 years, Shailene, so you've seen some changes there on the peninsula, haven't you?
Yeah, well, so originally I came just over 10 years ago. I moved full-time 6 years ago, and I visited, you know, those first 4 years for a couple months at a time when I could.
Right.
And yeah, like, I mean, I remember when I first came, they were handing out the cable bills at the bar because so few people had TVs, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Placencia really only got power in the late 1990s, and we got our road paved about 8 years ago for the first time, and then for real about a year ago. And so life has really improved. As the road has improved, life improves, you know, because we're attached to the mainland. So really, things can now come down from America or Mexico, where, you know, it's a little different than living on an island.
Yeah.
But yeah, as the road improved, life improved for sure.
That road changes everything. I remember when Susan and I made our first drive to Placencia, a car came up next to us on the road and pointed down. We had a flat tire, but the road was so rough we didn't know it.
Right.
We didn't realize
exactly
it. We went to Placencia and somebody took the tire across the lagoon and got it fixed, and it was back on the ferry that night.
When were you in Placencia? That's so exciting.
Oh, we've been there many times over the years. my wife actually put me in the water in Belize to get my dive certificate, because that was one,
right.
One of the deal breakers of our relationship, that I'd have to learn how to dive. So that set the Excellent. Hook pretty good. Do you dive at all?
There, I do, definitely. Actually, my first 2 years down here, I worked as a first mate and chef for the moorings, catamarans. What? And so I was really lucky because I spent my first 2 years sailing. Uh-huh. So I got to see almost all the islands, and I dove a ton. I learned to dive here, and yeah, I've done most of my diving here.
Very cool. So what is your typical day like, Shailene? What do you do?
Well, I'm a sales manager for a resort now. Mm-hmm. I've kind of job hopped since I've been here, but so I go to my regular work. I sell the real estate for the resort. They have a bunch of villas. Mm-hmm. But my day is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I grew up in Canada, and so now living in Placentia, there's not really a day that goes by where I'm not extremely grateful for the sunshine and the views.
Yeah.
And, you know, so driving to work, you know, rounding the airstrip, it always feels amazing to see the ocean for the first time every day. And, mm-hmm. You know, I get my meat pies in the morning. Those are like they're tiny little meat pies, exactly as they sound, but they're $1 yeah. each, and they're just fantastic, and they're local food here, so uh-huh. I eat far too many of those.
Sounds wonderful. Well, tell me about the expat community there in Placentia and in the area. You live up in St. Bite, which is a little less touristy, I guess, but
right.
you see the expat community grow as well, I imagine.
Absolutely, it's huge. One of the things I'm always saying to my customers or people who are coming in is the thing to like best about Placentia is the community. I mean, and that's the whole peninsula, because it's really Maya Beach up in the north. There's a ton of expats that live right. up there. A lot of them are building, you know, their dream homes,
yeah.
whether it's a wooden Mennonite house on stilts 12 feet high or a concrete mansion. You know, a lot of the expats are living up north, and then down in Placentia Village, where it's a little bit more touristy, that's where a lot of the hanging out happens. So you yeah. have your beach bars and, but yeah, the community is just wonderful. I mean, there's something going on pretty much every day of the week, whether it's, you know, volunteering, with Rotary, doing something to give back, like with a running club or something,
right.
or, you know, gardening clubs, book clubs, trivia nights, name that tune nights, live bands, you know, there's always something going on.
It sounds wonderful. And as you say, things have improved there, so you get more imports down on that end of the peninsula. The community is growing. But you've been there a long time. Is there any way you can yeah. compare your cost of living to what it was before you got there, or has it been too long for you?
I don't think it's been too long. I still go home. I'm still slightly in touch with the real world. I mean, I probably lose on the prices, right? But yeah. I mean, cost of living has increased here, I think, mostly in monthly rent. Mm-hmm. You know, just as the more popular the destination becomes, the harder it is to find those rentals that are done by the month or longer, because you can make a lot in a nightly rental here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a little bit to do with why I live where I live on the peninsula, because there are still places where, so for example, my house, I have a 2-bedroom home, you know, with air conditioning and all the comforts like Wi-Fi and washer dryer and all that. And I pay $700 US a month.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that for me, like, it's more than when I originally came, but it's still like I love where I live. It's such a great little house.
Yeah.
Like I say, I watch bananas grow off my porch, and you know, I'm right across the street from the beach, so can't really complain.
Wow.
And then one of the things with the cost of living that I often tell people too is it's really up to you how much life costs, because
sure.
you can eat like a tourist or you can eat like a local, and that can mean a range of, you know, $1 meat pies or five tacos for $1, right up to like the fanciest fine dining, you know, that'll cost you hundreds with a couple of bottle of wine. So
yeah,
it's up to you how you do it.
It runs the gamut. There are huge right. choices there. How is your shopping shaping up? Where do you do most of your shopping? Do you have to go up to Maya Beach, or do you get what
you know? Shopping is like something that dreams are made of, as far as
yeah.
I'm concerned. Because, you know, as far as like buying clothes and stuff, you don't really have a lot of options here. It's still very, you know, you've got the odd thrift shop, or somebody will bring down a bunch of things and resell it. But for the most
yeah.
part, in Placentia itself, you're not shopping. When it comes to groceries, though, we have awesome grocery stores. I think we have 7 on the peninsula.
Oh.
And while they're not, you know, as big as North America or as nice as North America, they certainly have everything that you'd be used to, because there is such a big expat community. You kind of build up a relationship with your local cashier, let her know what you'd like them to bring in, and
sure.
they're pretty good about it. So, yeah,
well, yeah,
that shopping is pretty standard.
In the land of no shirt, no shoes, no problem. Food is the most important thing. Clothes don't
matter. Absolutely. Shoes just don't matter. It's like when I go back to North America, it's one of my biggest stresses. It's because I barely wear shoes when I do their flip-flops, and they certainly don't have to match anything or, you know, be uncomfortable or, you know, so I get a little stressed out when I find myself having to, like, find footwear that fits and has to stay on and match.
And, of course, in Belize, as in a lot of Central American countries, but Belize in particular, just because it's so beautifully situated and has such a fantastic geography, tourism is hugely important. How does that affect your relationship with the local community? I mean, every time I've been there, I have noticed no tension at all. But then again, I don't live there. You know, I visit for as long as I can, but I haven't become a local. Do you notice any tension as tourism grows, as those economic
It's a really good question. And I really respect it, because I think as any expat coming into another country, any immigrant really, you want to be respectful of where you're coming into, right? And so being sensitive to what's changing for them, I think, is super important. Having said that, in Belize, there's not a ton of other industry. It's not a very populated country. It's very, very small. Anything that they can export, it's not in huge, large quantities. So tourism becomes that much more important. And really what I think is that it's providing the opportunity for growth for locals that wouldn't be there otherwise. It's providing the opportunity for education, for them to have internet, all these things that really are improving the new generation's quality of life. Yeah. I think it's really important that we do it in a sustainable way. And so where the one comment I get all the time, whether I was working on the boat or at my current job now, from visitors, is how friendly the locals are. The locals are absolutely delighted to have tourism coming in. And because of the lack of an English barrier, I mean, people can really, we just communicate with each other, and it's really, really welcoming and lovely here. And that's very, very genuine. I do think there's a bit of tension as prices rise. Sure. You know, making sure that they still have a place to live in their own home is important. You know, and little things like that where, you know, bylaws change, maybe noise rules, you know, where there didn't used to be rules or safety rules, now there are. But for the most part, with the exception of those littler things, no, it's not anything that you really experience on a day-to-day basis. I think they're very, very, very welcoming people and are grateful for the opportunity that tourism is bringing them.
Wow, sounds great. So I want to thank you for chatting with me today. It's been fascinating, and it makes me want to get back to the peninsula with Susan as soon as we possibly can. But I'm going to ask you my last question, which I usually ask almost everybody that I do these podcasts with. Mm-hmm. If you knew then what you know now, would you do anything different? And kind of the corollary, is there one big mistake that you can keep other people who are thinking about doing the same thing from making, from the benefit of your experience?
It's a really good question. I think that doing everything kind of legally when it comes to your immigration status, but also as quickly as possible. So, for example, in Belize, if you're coming in on the QRP program, the Qualified Retiree program, it's relatively easy to qualify for. I would recommend you do that right away. I mean, come down, find out that you like it here, that kind of thing. But don't wait. You know, it's the same with me with my residency. I wish I hadn't waited to do that mandatory year of staying here before I applied.
Because the clock starts ticking as soon as you make the application,
Exactly. And things go slowly here. Things get in the way. It's all a carbon copy society. Things just take a little longer. And plus, you know, just the sooner you can be official, the better. And so, you know, where we might be hesitant at the beginning, I would say to people, you know, just dive right in, do it legally above board, take the time that it takes, and get it done.
And a lot of that stuff still has to get done up in Belize City, doesn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Placencia, we would take the Hokey Pokey water taxi over to Independence, Mango Creek, for our closest immigration office. But a lot of the really official stuff still has to be done in the city or in Belmopan.
Wow. Shailene, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. When you come to town next, let me know. We'll have a drink at Barefoot.
That sounds wonderful. Save a Bellican for
me. Okay.
Talk to you later.
I will, I promise. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a Belize Insider.